learn to say your prayers. The place I took to praying, loading in and breaking down my road dog door deal dreams. Long before we ever met, I made up my direction. Long before I knew the half of half I'm sure of now. Though I'd say it ain't the way that you'd have gone about it. Follow me and lead me on and never let me down. So I'll love you till my lungs give out. I ain't lying, I'm all yours, you're all mine.
Oh, welcome back to another episode of the Gibberish Podcast. I'm your host, Kyle Rodriguez. With me, as always, my co-host, my best friend, the homie, Josh Kilsdonk. What's up, Poppy?
Oh, good day, sir.
How's it going today?
I'm doing very well. Doing
that song fucks, man.
That's a great song.
I love these little intro
songs that they change up every week.
I know. I'm sure it's probably hindering my outreach because I'm sure it gets like flagged or whatnot.
Oh,
I don't care. Yeah. I mean, if it makes it through, it makes it through.
You're not monetizing,
that's the problem. I'm not anymore.
Okay,
but back in the day, I was because Anchor was my sponsor. But
yeah,
now Anchor no longer exists.
You have to meet certain,
which I don't understand because I've met those parameters at times and nothing's ever been monetized. So, I mean, like I said, I don't do this for the money, but it is weird. I'm just like, okay, so what parameter am I missing here?
Yeah.
But anyway, nah, man, how's it been going with you?
Doing very well. I'm getting over a little bit of a bug here.
Yeah.
Feel a lot better
that last time
couple
of year.
Days. Yeah, it's just, and I think the snap in weather probably took me out.
I felt
fine one day last week, and then the next day I woke up and I like couldn't talk. Like I didn't have a voice, so I'm
sucking too much dick.
That might, you know,
too many dicks.
People don't factor in that.
Yeah, but yeah, no, man. So last week's episode was interesting. I kind of went off a little bit. I was a little bit heated about some things, but I don't know. It's hard for me when I take a long break because there's so much shit that I want to get covered. Because like I feel like, oh, I missed out on so much stuff. Yeah. And it's just, it's very hard for me sometimes. I was listening back and I mean, it was good. I was rambling and like they weren't always cohesive thoughts. But I mean, that's also not having done it in a few months and trying to get through so many topics and whatnot.
Yeah. And you're kind of fighting an uphill battle because we lost the last episode, which I thought was a good convo that we had.
That was the thing. I was trying to recap some of that shit that we talked about, but I don't know if I brought it up last week when we were talking, but oh, shit. Now I completely forgot it. Motherfucker.
That's my life.
Yeah. Well, like, I even talked about it in therapy today, which was hilarious. They called me. I do. So as much as, like, I like meeting in person with people, you know, like I like to see people, shake their hands, get to know them, see them, you know, like my nurse practitioner, I've never missed a in-person appointment with her. I enjoy seeing her. It is very nice doing some of these virtual visits because like we had all sorts of issues with our trucks yesterday. We finally got them all up and running, but then like we had to get them into truck country to get fixed and whatnot. And so, like, that's all I was thinking about when I went in today, completely forgetting that I had an appointment at 8:30 with my therapist. Yeah. So, like, he just called me, and I'm like, because it's private number, I'm like, hello, it's Kyle. He goes, Kyle, it's Cody. I go, hey, Cody. And I'm like, who the fuck is Cody? And he goes, we had an appointment today for 8:30. I went, ah, fuck. And I go, okay, I'll call you in a minute. And I'm literally in the truck with Scuba and fucking Zach on the way to go get my truck when I call him. So, like, he's, like, looking at me like, we're supposed to be doing a therapy session. Who's the fat guy in the background? And it's Zach. You know, like, I'm like, oh, that's my boy Zach. Zach, wave my eyes.
This is couples therapy now.
Yeah. So I was like, I'm not going to lie. I'm on my way to pick up my route truck. I will be able to, once I park that outside, I'll be able to do it. But I mean, it was nice, and it is nice to have that convenience, you know, where it's just a simple call away. It's not like I missed an appointment or, you know, I have to reschedule because it's, I mean, we started 5 minutes late and it is what it is. But it was also kind of cool for him to also get to see, like, some of my daily activity in the job that I do, you know what I mean? And so, like, I was telling him, I was like, that's why I would have a hard time ever moving on from this job, because even the relationships that I have at, like, Truck Country with the guys that work there.
Oh,
I've
right.
known them
yeah.
for 13 fucking years, you know? Yeah. So it's like, it's going to be, it would be hard to ever move on from that.
Yeah, I had a job back in college where I was just delivering, like, auto parts.
Mm-hmm.
And one of my favorite friggin' jobs ever. And even when I worked for Fox's. Funny you mentioned Truck Country. A lot of the guys there every Friday, like, as soon as we'd open, we'd have a big order that would go out there.
So
dudes want to get their pizza.
I worked at Fox's.
We probably just missed each other.
I was one of the first employees I ever hired.
No shit.
Yeah, I was hired before Casey worked there.
Damn.
Yeah.
Yeah, wow. Okay.
I remember training Casey.
That's hilarious, actually.
Yeah.
Yeah, so. Dude. Those jobs I loved because you could just build connections with everybody.
Oh, absolutely.
When it was pizza, everybody fucking wants pizza. Mm-hmm. Everybody's looking forward to pizza. So you're like the man of the hour when you come walking in with those duffel bags
right.
and shit.
Oh, yeah.
And then same with car parts. They need those things. I mean, not only is it for their livelihood and the support of the business, but also like people who are in that industry, they want to get people out of there so that they can get their jobs done too. And it just building connections along the way. I had jobs that I worked at for 4 years where I'm like, all right, see ya. Like, talk to you never.
Yeah.
But I miss the customer base so much in those roles because you can connect with them so well.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. I do love... Oh, I remember what
Bingo.
I wanted to talk about, actually, because it's about customer service. It's very funny that you bring that up. Here's my thing that's been going on, right? So what happened was Fox Valley technicians or some shit like that, they're subcontracted by ThetaCare to do some stuff.
Okay.
So I have like a bunch of bills that keep coming in from them. And Amanda tries to go online to pay it. It says that it's not accepting online payments right now. So then she tries to call and pay it and nobody's ever there to answer the phone. So eventually it's going to just end up getting sent to collections. And I was talking to Cody about this today. What irritates me is so then I Google these people, right? Because I'm like, is this even a legit business? Mm-hmm. Or is this somebody who's like, oh, we see this guy's insurance is getting billed because that's public records that your insurance is being used.
Mm-hmm.
And they just keep sending me these random bills and like expecting me to pay them. And so I Google them and they have a 1-star rating. And it's all about the bill paying.
Okay.
Here's my thing, though. There's over 781 reviews. What these people have to realize is that these people aren't in the business of customer service. You're mm-hmm. not harming their business by leaving a 1-star review. They don't give a fuck. You don't have a choice but to be billed by them.
Yeah.
What people need to start doing is using your... I know I talked about monopolies last week,
mm-hmm.
but you need to start using the Better Business Bureau.
Yeah.
Because what's going to happen is, so if they start getting downgraded by the Better Business Bureau, ThetaCare is going to go, what the fuck's going on mm-hmm. with this? Maybe we shouldn't use these people anymore because we can't be associated with somebody who's got a C ranking with the fucking Better Business Bureau. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
I don't understand, and like I told Cody, I think what it is I think it's that instant gratification that everybody loves. You type out this big, long review, and you press post, and then you get to see it right there, and you go, I fucking made a change today.
Yeah.
But as Tupac said, you made it in a sleazy way.
Like, yeah.
You didn't really do shit. It's not really... It's not affecting them at all. Mm-hmm. They could give two fucks less. I mean, they have over 780 fucking 1-star reviews. Clearly, they don't give two shits about what you think of them.
Not their area of focus.
Yeah, it's not customer service. They're not in the business of customer service. And so that's what people need to quit thinking is, oh, a Google review is the word. Your Google review fucks with a mom and pop shop. So, like, perfect example, this is what frustrates me. When I'll look at, like, a mom and pop shop, and be like, I called in an order, and they forgot the ranch. 2 stars. And it's like, first off, if you love ranch that much,
you probably have some.
You should have it at home.
Yeah.
If you don't, then it shouldn't be that big of a deal to you. Perfect example. There's a lot of places that don't carry honey mustard. Honey mustard is my favorite sauce. So you do know what I always have at home? I have honey, I have mustard, and I have mayo. Those are the 3 ingredients you need to make a decent fucking honey mustard sauce.
Mm-hmm.
Is it as good as, by the way, I'm still trying to figure out where the bar gets their fucking honey mustard from. There's been a few places. Like, I called them, and they're like, yeah, that's weird. We're not going to give you that over there. And I'm like, I promise you I'm not trying to start a business. I just really like your fucking honey mustard. Like, who do you guys go through? And they're like, yeah I'm not going to tell you. And it's like, fuck you. Fuck you. Holy. Like,
remind me about that after the show. I might have something for you.
Really?
I know a guy. And I don't know many guys, but I got a guy.
Dude, if you can hook me up with this honey mustard, I will jerk you off in the bathroom.
Okay, then I got 2 guys.
But anyway, it's my favorite honey mustard in the world. But, like, that's my thing. I just get irritated sometimes with people's expectations of everything. Mm-hmm. Because here's my thing. It's like, if that's what you want so bad, and you think that that's such a service that needs to be offered to people in this world, fucking start the business. Mm-hmm. If you're not willing to start the business, then don't bitch about it. I love the McRib. McDonald's takes it away from me all the fucking time. Yeah. If I really cared that much about the McRib, I would start a business where I just make McRibs.
Fuck yeah.
But I know that I really don't care about the McRib that much. I guess my thing is that we've gotten to a place in society where everything's become so easy that when it's even the slightest inconvenience, perfect example. So the other day I ordered McDonald's, right? This was a few weeks back. I ordered McDonald's. The only reason why we ever ordered McDonald's is because Evelyn and Amanda love French fries. I can take McDonald's. I can leave McDonald's. I eat it a fucking ton because it's so convenient.
Mm-hmm.
But I place the order. I go through. I get all the way back home, and I realize I don't have any French fries in my bag.
Ooh. That's a key component here. What's going down?
Like, literally, Amanda's like, I wouldn't have gotten McDonald's if we weren't going to get fries. So I go, okay, let me call them. So I call the restaurant, and I go, hey, I had a mobile order for pickup. The reason why I did notice that there were no fries is because I get the mobile rewards, and I had built up enough rewards that I got a couple free sandwiches. And we were going out that night, so I was like, fuck yeah, I'm going to get my free sandwiches because I'll smash those when I get home drunk.
Oh, for sure.
Didn't even notice no fries because the bag was full as fuck. So I call them, and I go, hey, name's Kyle Rodriguez. I just had the mobile order that I picked up. I go, I'm missing a large fry and a medium fry. I go, I'm sorry, I didn't check in the parking lot. And they go, Greenville, by the way, the nicest fucking people working at McDonald's, except for inside, which is weird. At the counter, complete douchebags. Through the drive-thru, nicest people I've ever met.
Vouch.
Yeah. So I talked to the manager, and I go, like, do I just come in and grab them? Or, you know, I see that I can file, like, a report on McDonald's app, like, do you want me to bring my receipt? I can bring the bags of food back so you can check them. Like, I haven't even pulled anything out yet. And he goes, no. She goes, just come through the drive-thru. Let us know that you need a large fry and a medium fry that weren't in your order, and we'll get them out to you right away. And they made them fucking fresh and hot. And it's like, I know so many people who would have taken to Google.
Yeah.
And my thing is, it's like, be a human being. You've never fucked anything up before.
Right.
You've never messed up at your job. If not, then hey, kudos. You can stand 10 toes down, stand on business about it, because you're the fucking, you're the shit.
Mm-hmm.
But everything's become so convenient that any inconvenience is like the end of the world to people. And it's really a sorry state that we're in.
Mm-hmm.
Because I feel bad for the people that do work in customer service. First off, don't ever complain about the price to someone in customer service, because I promise you, if you're talking to somebody at the fucking counter, they ain't the one setting the prices.
Exactly.
So first off, check that shit at the door, or make a complaint, lodge a complaint, be like, hey, I do think it's kind of ridiculous that a toilet brush costs this much. Could you please submit that? And they'll be happy to fucking do it. Or they won't be, but then you have something to stand on. Like, oh, these fucking assholes. But being shitty to a person, I don't think has ever gotten anybody anywhere.
No.
I've never gotten shitty with this customer service representative or a customer service person until they've gotten shitty with me.
Yeah, and on the opposite foot, having been in a couple customer service roles, I don't get shitty until they start demeaning me and swearing at me, and it's like,
right, so if all of us had that fucking standard, nobody would get shitty with anybody.
Exactly.
And how nice of a fucking world would that be in?
Mm-hmm.
Because here's the thing, me working in customer service, as soon as you get shitty with me, I want to do nothing but inconvenience you more.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I will not bump up your priority shipping.
No, not at all.
In fact, I might walk it to your place instead.
I'll put it on a fucking wagon with a chihuahua pulling it, and hopefully he knows where the fuck you live.
Yeah.
Like, it's just, it's one of those things where it's like, we're all struggling together.
Mm-hmm.
We all have so much shit going on in our lives. Why not make as many interactions with people that you don't want to be having as cordial and friendly as they can fucking be?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I sit back and I look at the, and I see it all the time. And like, this is the thing. It's not just the Google reviews. I see it in person a lot.
Yeah.
And it's like, what are you doing? And then I'm the type of guy that I can't just keep my mouth shut. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like, if I'm behind a lady, by the way, I know people are going to be like, this is sucks. It's always a fucking lady. It's always a lady that starts it first. And it's like, I can't keep my mouth shut. Mm-hmm. I have to say something. Like, especially if I can tell that they're in the wrong, I'll be like, well, actually, ma'am, so here's what you probably did, and that's fine. I mean, you can go in and correct. Who the fuck asked you? Well, maybe you should have fucking asked me, and we wouldn't be in this situation.
No shit.
Or maybe you learn how to use the shit properly, and it wouldn't be on them to try to figure out your fuck up.
Mm-hmm.
Be better.
Yeah.
You want to live in a technological world? You want to order something off the McDonald's fucking app? Learn the app. Take a fucking couple minutes to kind of learn how the fucking shit works.
Yeah.
Same thing with the Walgreens and shit. You know? Perfect example. The only time that I ever got shitted with the Walgreens, I'm fucking dying of COVID, right? I order a bunch of shit to be dropped off at the house, because I don't want to go into your store.
Right. Can't really do that there, guy.
Well, so.
Or you can.
I order it. Gets dropped off at the wrong house. I specifically put in the directions. It's going to tell you to take a right at Alexander Way. That is not the proper way to go. I am right on the corner of Glenview and Alexander Way. I even put, like, there's two trees. There's, you know, there's a fucking, what do we have? There's a welcome sign out on the front stoop.
It says gayest place in town.
Used to. Yeah. I do love that map, by the way. But, like, I gave them a perfect description of the house. They still went to the wrong place. So now what you're telling me is you didn't read the directions. That's your fuck up.
Yeah.
However, so I call Walgreens and I tell them. They go, well, that's through DoorDash. And I go, correct. but you contract DoorDash to do that. I can't see that driver's number. You can call him and just find out which fucking house he dropped it at. I'll walk and get it. You know, but I'm saying it nicely. I'm like, well, actually, if you just call him and you call me back and let me know which address he accidentally dropped it off at, I'll go and grab it. She goes, I can't do that. I go, okay. I go, I'm not paying for the shit again, but I'll come pick it up. And she goes, okay, that works. So I walked in there. She goes, so what do you got going on? I go, I have COVID. And she fucking reeled back from me like I told her I had leprosy.
Oh, damn.
And I'm like, yeah, that's why I ordered online. I figured it'd be a lot more convenient for him to leave it at my front door and nobody have to come in contact with anybody. But my wife's working, so I'm taking care of myself. And I can't stop fucking coughing, and I would like some cough medicine. And she like looked at me like I slapped her in the face. I'm like, this is your fault.
Yeah,
you could have fixed this over the phone, or you could have just said, you know what, Mr. Rodriguez, why is it that you're ordering through us? Oh, I have COVID right now. You know what? I'll send another driver.
Yeah. That's simple what you do.
Simple as can be.
I think when you work, and I'm sorry if you had another point, but it was like
no.
When and I'm bringing it back because this is the only
experience
yeah. that I can have. It was a lot of things when I never signed anything that said I can't talk about where I used to work. I used to work for Cellcom, cellular provider.
Clearly not the best.
Clearly not the best.
Yeah.
Now it's something vision with a service, something with a heartbeat, fucking whatever. It's a whole other story. But
did you know that they've been in business since like the 80s?
Since, well, yeah. And then they sprouted from Insight Teleservices, which they based out of Pulaski. So they were in like the 1800s. Or like early
nuts.
1900s, fucking nuts.
Yeah. I read somewhere like
They've been in business for a long time.
Yeah.
Just in different ways. Mm-hmm. There's like a coffee
shop
district.
But it's been Cellcom since like 1985 or something like that.
Yeah, it's been around for a hot
minute.
It's
absurd. Yeah.
And when I was in tech support, we were doing a lot of direct customer calls because our service was struggling. I say was, but I mean, I'm not with them anymore. So it's never been great. But you want to support local-ish.
It's not terrible.
Yeah,
it's good for local.
It's a bit out, or it's a bit behind.
Yeah.
But what can you expect? You can't expect a small Midwestern company to compete with
Verizon,
T-Mobile, all that stuff.
And by the way, Verizon ain't all it's cracked up to be either. That's who we switched phone companies to with the new purchase of the company.
Yeah.
And a lot of people have been having some problems.
Fun fact for you.
Mm-hmm.
So there are two types of networks
and
Verizon and so each cell tower company owns a tower and they lease space out too.
Yep.
And then there are different levels or amounts of spectrum that can be broadcast.
Tiers. Yep.
So that not only do you eliminate device interference, but they purposely, the FCC regulates that to help control monopolies, but they have roaming agreements with different carriers. So Cellcom, because it is in the same type of network as opposed to like a T-Mobile, that's a different level of network. When you're outside of your home network, the phone and the SIM card that talks to your phone will say, oh shit, I don't see any Cellcom here, but Verizon is compatible, so we're going to work with Verizon towers.
Yeah.
So we had a...
Which is why, just not to interrupt, but which is why when Sprint was a thing, I never got service at Lambeau Field. Like, I couldn't send text messages or anything.
Mm-hmm.
I would have full bars, but the tower would be so bogged down because they were a separate network. Meanwhile, everybody who was US Cellular or Verizon next to me, they could send and receive messages no problem.
Yep.
And now that it's T-Mobile, which they do, which is hilarious because Verizon says they have the largest network, but T-Mobile actually has the largest coverage in the United States. I've never had an issue with anything.
Yeah. Yeah, you have like there. So it's CDMA and then there's GSM. And yes. GSM is like AT&T, your T-Mobile.
Right.
CDMA is Verizon, Cellcom.
Which also like lends itself to the Wi-Fi, mm-hmm. which Spectrum, so I get 500 megabytes per second or whatnot. But at peak hours, I might only get 90. Yeah. Whereas if you pay for fiber optic through AT&T, you're always going to get exactly what mm-hmm. the fuck you're paying for.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And to reel it back super fast, like in the customer service space, so many people would call in complaining and it would be like, there's like, if we were on FaceTime, I feel like there was a fully loaded 12 gauge just to the right of the person yes. calling in at all yeah. times.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, so many times I'd have to de-escalate a situation, be like, I understand you're frustrated. I'd be frustrated too.
Right.
And one thing I will say is with their customer service training, mm-hmm. they're like, you're allowed to say that. You're allowed to admit that things aren't working.
Right.
And that instead of giving this bullshit statement that really is our fault, but trying to put it off on somebody else, that's unacceptable. And yeah. I was like, so many times I'm like, ma'am or sir or whatever, I could call them by their first name if I wanted to. I'm like, look, I know it sounds cliche. I understand where you're coming from. I'd be frustrated too. In fact, I'm dealing with the same issues right now.
Right.
And what I can share with you from what we know about this is X, Y, and Z. And even there are times where I'm like, if you want to leave, I understand. And I'm not going to fight you on that because that's your decision that you want to make. We have yeah. our teams in place to help you with transitioning out. But I'd love to help you work on this because nobody is more frustrated than I am
right.
hearing about this issue 50 times a day, every day from yeah. people exactly like you.
Yes.
And I want to find it more. I want to find a solution more than you
That's
do.
That's why I wish we lived in Australia, because then you could call them a cunt and it would be okay.
And they're like, oh, so cheeky.
Yeah, cheeky. Well, this guy's fun. Hey, listen here, you dumb cunt.
Yeah.
We're all going through it. I'll get it back up and running.
Yeah. So it's like,
crikey, mate. Go yeah. fucking fist fight a fucking kangaroo for a few hours. I'll get it back up and running.
Yeah, maybe we could sort this out at Footy Club.
Yeah, Footy Club.
But there are so Foster's. Many times we're just in
oh,
20
by the way,
seconds.
That would piss people off. In Australia.
They fucking hate that.
They hate Foster's.
It's a terrible beer.
Yeah, it is a terrible beer.
But there are so many times in 30 seconds of me being on the phone and after getting run through the ring of like the first contact with customer support where, yeah, sure, there are legal things that they can't do or there's a verification process, all that stuff. But by the time it would get to me, it's like, I can see their call logs with customer service. I'm like, Jesus Christ, these people have been on the phone for half an hour.
Yeah.
And unfortunately, with level one of troubleshooting, they would have to go through all of these introductory yeah. questions. And I know it's a pain in the ass, but then give me 30 seconds on the phone with a customer and I would turn that around right away. And they're like, you know what, Josh, I want to work with you.
Yeah.
You can get shit done and you know exactly what I'm going through. So let's. I apologize. Like, I've gotten a lot of apologies from customers coming in white hot, trying to get a deal.
Yeah.
And I'm like, they give you what's called empowerment. So mm-hmm. I could give up to a couple $100 of credits. And then, if I wanted to give more than that, I would just get approval from a manager. But because
right.
of proven track record with customer retention, then I would be allowed to do that. Like, I would find out in a second, hey, Adam, I need
right.
this. Oh, okay. Send me the ticket notes. I'm like, yeah, that's fine. He'll review it right away and in real time. Just say, yeah, give them whatever they want.
Right.
So it's not a matter of like me not wanting to work with them until
they're
like,
nice
fuck
guys
you.
Finish last. But honestly, they don't.
Yeah.
Nice guys finish last if you're dealing with shitty people. If you're dealing with good people, it generally works out well for you. That's what I've yeah. noticed. So my thing is one of the questions that they normally ask you that used to piss me off, but now I have a better understanding of, is have you tried turning it off and turning it back on again?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
But here's the thing. I just said to one of the guys at the shop the other day, I said, Greg, have you tried shutting it off and turning it back on again? And he just gave me a shitty look. I go, when's the last time you've shut off your phone
mm-hmm.
and done a hard reset?
Yeah.
And he goes, oh, I don't know. I don't think ever, not since I got it. I go, exactly. I go, just like we get fucking tired, sometimes the shit gets tired.
Yeah.
Fucking shut it down. Turn it back on. I can't tell you how many times that's all it takes for me to fix my internet. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? And sometimes I have to do even a harder reset, and I got to call Spectrum, and they'll fucking shut down complete service here and then fucking turn it back on. And generally, that I've never had to have a Spectrum person come out to fix my shit.
Which is awesome.
It's always been... That's a lie. Once up in Green Bay, and what happened was somewhere underneath the ground, like a mole chewed through a fucking wire or something. Mm-hmm. And so it was just completely cut off. And yeah, it stinks. I mean, they got to be a lot. They have to try to be fucking better with the timetables that they give you. Right. There's no reason why I should have to take a day of PTO to fucking have a service guy come out.
Mm-hmm. You know what I mean?
But at the same time, it's also like there's also prioritized. You know what I mean? So like they told me between 11 and 5, right? Mm-hmm. They were there at 11:04. And I go, wow, you guys were actually like here like right away. He's like, you're what we call a high priority. Your cable, your actual cable is technically like not working, like it's chewed through, so it's fucked. So I have to replace that. Mm-hmm. But of course it was a fucking snowstorm that day. So he only got to my place. So there were people that probably needed service that day, mm-hmm, that he wasn't going to get to because they're not a high priority. Now, if I were them, of course I'd be fucking upset. But at the same time, you also have to understand shit happens.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Everybody knows I work in the farm industry. I can't really talk about my job anymore. Shouts out to the new owners. But I'll just talk about past experiences because you can't knock me for that. But there have been times where, like, farmers will be like, oh, what happened? Why are you, you're 2 days late? And it's like, weren't you supposed to have the corn off 3 weeks ago? Yeah. And they're like, well, yeah, but this happened, this happened. I go, oh, you think you're the only people that shit happens to?
Yeah.
Like, what do you mean? My daughter's been sick the last 2 fucking days. Am I supposed to tell my wife, who makes triple what I fucking make an hour, you got to stay home? Daddy's going to go out and bring home the fucking giblets from a turkey. Yeah. You're bringing home filet. I'm bringing home fucking giblets that are getting thrown out. You know, yeah. And I make good fucking money. I make really good money, especially for a guy with only a high school diploma and barely that. Yeah. But yeah, like, actually, you know what? I need to stop demeaning myself. Yeah, I forget.
Give yourself more credit.
No. When I look back, I forget. Like, I was in AP science classes, dude, and shit.
Yeah, you're a smart person.
Yeah, but like, it's hilarious because it's so long ago. I'm just like, that's right. Like, my junior year, I fucked off. My senior year, I really did actually hanker down because my parents were like, you don't clean your shit up, we're booting you out, and you're going to go live in Illinois with your mom. Mm-hmm. And I wanted to graduate with my friends.
Yeah.
So it's like, it's one of those things where it's just like, oh, yeah, that's right. I am. It's not that I'm smart. Like, I don't like. You ever wondered if you have, like, there's a. I've often felt like I'm smarter than a lot of people around me. But there's a disorder, and I forget what it's called, but it's where you're so arrogant that you can't recognize your own ignorance.
Okay.
And I wonder if sometimes I suffer from that.
Okay.
But also, at the same time, as soon as I think that, I go, nah. That ain't it.
Not me.
Like, but not it, me. You know what I mean? But it's like, I don't think that's one of those disorders where it's like they say that if you've ever wondered whether or not you're a sociopath, you're in the clear. Because a sociopath would never even think to wonder if they are.
Yeah.
Because in their mind, there's no way. That, like, that's not even thought that would cross.
Yeah, it's like narcissism.
Yeah. Well, which, by the way, people need to start fucking stop throwing that out so much. Everything's narcissism this day. No, it's not. Maybe it's literally just, hey, I know my fucking worth.
Yeah.
Is that okay?
It's such a fine line where, like,
right.
And a lot of it is like up for interpretation. And a lot of times I see points to it. A lot of times I'm like, you know, I wish that I could feel that way about myself.
Yeah.
And good on them for being able to do that. But yeah, I agree with you though. The word is thrown out a lot for sure.
You know the most narcissistic people in the world? Have you ever heard of this thing as a, it's called a life coach?
Yeah.
You think you got it nailed down so fucking much that you can tell me how the fuck to get to my goals? Here's the thing. There's this one bitch on fucking TikTok, Melissa, certified life coach. She lives in a one-bedroom apartment that clearly hasn't been updated in forever. I'm going to pay you to tell me how to succeed?
Yeah.
You haven't done it for yourself. Yeah. And who knows? Maybe she's one of those people who are like, you know what? This is all I need, and that's awesome. But also, shut the fuck up. What a narcissistic job. What a narcissistic fucking job.
You're kind of playing Sims in a way.
Not even like,
dude, and it's not your fucking life. So, yeah, you should jump off that bridge next time you see it.
Between
not my life.
Motivational speakers and life coaches, have you ever heard of a more pointless fucking job? Now, you know the one person that I will give his just fucking dues to? Tony Robbins.
I was just going to say Tony Robbins, but
this is the reason why. He said one of the most profound things that I've ever fucking heard, and he gave it to us for free. He was sitting down with Theo Von, and he said, I want you to look around this room. Pick out everything that's brown. He goes, now tell me everything red that you saw. Theo goes, well, he goes, right. He goes, now look around this room. Pick out everything red that you saw or that you see. He goes, now in those two examples, you couldn't see the red because you were looking for the brown, right? And Theo goes, yeah. He goes, that's because you're looking, you're focused on what you think is the goal at hand. You're not paying attention to the other things around you that might actually help you get to that goal. He goes, but also, how many things did you look at that were beige that you counted as brown?
Damn.
And he goes, yeah, I did that with the curtains there. He goes, because you're trying to validate your viewpoint.
Dog.
Fucking dog, dude. That's crazy, man. That's nuts. That's insane. Hey, that right there.
I love that.
I would pay for it.
Yeah, that is some shit.
Because that's some shit that I would never even think of. Mm-hmm. But meanwhile, you have these other fucking assholes out there. Like, there's this one guy, he's like, people spend 18 hours a week on, what word did he use? Not mundane, but, minute, maybe? But basically, he's like, they spend 3 hours a week grocery shopping. They spend 4 hours dropping their kids off at school. They spend, he goes, you have Instacart you can use. You can hire a nanny. You can do all the, you're wasting 18 hours. And it's like, guy, you're talking about living. Mm-hmm. I'm supposed to hire a nanny with the money I don't have?
Right. Yeah.
The fuck are you talking about? Oh, by the way, the most amount of time I get to spend with my daughter in one sitting, except on the weekends, is when I drop her off in the morning. We spend a half hour in the fucking truck together singing songs together. I'm mm-hmm. supposed to give that up so I can fucking work more? Suck my dick. Mm-hmm. How about a work-life-home balance, you fucking twat? No wonder why you pour yourself into your work, because if you stop working, you're going to look around and go, I hate my fucking life.
Yeah.
This sucks.
I'm not here for any of this shit.
You're working because you don't want to fucking jump off of the fucking Golden Gate Bridge as you drive into work. Because if you have time to think, you're going to realize how fucking empty.
You've got time to want to kill yourself.
Yes, absolutely. But if you have time to fucking just sit there and think, you're going to realize how much you fucking hate your life. Mm-hmm. And everybody tries to justify it. Everybody tries to justify it with, well, I'll be able to retire when I'm fucking 60 instead of 65 or 55 instead. But guess what? When you're 55, your knee's going to work so well that that you can go hiking every fucking day? No? Okay. Well, my boy Nate, he takes off some weekends just to go hiking. He's 25 or 26 years old. His body's in tip-top shape. He doesn't hurt for 3 days after doing the fucking hike. He's not so fucking sore that he's paying attention to the next step he's taking as opposed to paying attention to the beauty of the nature around him.
Mm-hmm.
No, we have it backwards in this society. I believe if I could make adjustments, I would love to see us be able to fucking live basically a retired life till about 28 years old, and then you start working for the rest of your life.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, because that's not guaranteed at the end of that.
Sure the fuck isn't. And, like, that's my thing. That's why, like, I stopped being shy about or stopped feeling guilty about taking my vacation. Stopped feeling guilty about fucking perfect example. I was sick as shit in October.
Yeah.
November, I took vacation. And Joe looked at me. He's like, aren't you still behind? And I go, no, actually, I am caught up. He goes, but you're going to get behind again going on vacation? I go, yeah. And I'll deal with that when that time comes. But right now, I want to take a week. I missed fucking 3 weeks of spending time with my daughter because I was locked up in a fucking bedroom because we didn't know what I had.
Right.
And we didn't want to get her sick.
Yeah.
So, no, I'm going to go on vacation.
Mm-hmm.
I was away from Evelyn so long that I could clearly tell how much hair she had grown in those 3 weeks.
Right.
I mean, I showed you pictures of the calendar on my calendar. Literally, those are from the month that they're on there. If you look at October to fucking November when we were on vacation, she's got a full fucking head of hair. Yeah. As opposed to where it was wispy and light before.
Mm-hmm.
No, man. Priorities.
Yeah.
I truly, truly, truly believe in that thing, that push now that says, you're so worried about your job, but if you died tomorrow, they would have you replaced in a week.
Mm-hmm.
Not my job. Mine's a little bit different. We're a little bit more tight-knit, a little bit more close. For sure. And I appreciate that. That's why I want to. That's exactly it. It's why I want to continue working for them. That's why I love working for them. Because of that reason. Not everybody has that.
Mm-hmm.
So why would you ever punish yourself or make yourself feel bad? Here's the thing. When they hire you with benefits, it's not just for show. You're allowed to use them fucking benefits.
Mm-hmm.
And if they don't want to do that and they fire you, guess what? That's a wrongful fucking termination.
Yeah. And then you'll get
lawsuit.
Paid out the ass for something like that. And then you'll be like good. That.
Yeah. Be like, well, I got punished for using my benefits.
Yeah, it's your rights as an employee.
Absolutely. And that's why, like, if you sign a contract or you sign, like, an employee handbook, make sure that language is in there.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? And it's just, I don't understand. That's the biggest trend these days. That's just absolutely hilarious to me, are all these motivational speakers. I mean, the best motivational speaker out there is the guy who told you how to retire at 22. That one I can get behind.
That is hilarious.
So funny. The guy, he's an older gentleman, and he goes, I retired when I was 22. Let me show you how. Step one, get blown up by a bomb. And he's missing his leg, so he retired from the military on a medical discharge. It's so fucking funny. Just, that's the shit that I enjoy.
Yeah,
but
you have to laugh at it.
But I also understand that these motivational speakers, there may be a few people that they do get through to.
Yeah. People will pay a lot of fucking money to get brought out of wherever they're in. And, you know, if that's what they need to do to turn their life around, great. But from a widespread standpoint, like we zoom out a little bit, how many people have really turn everything around from a 4-hour seminar that they pay $500 to go to.
Yeah.
And then there are, what, a couple hundred people in that, probably a Hilton Garden Inn conference center. Like, you know.
Yeah.
It's kind of wild. But, hey, at the same length, I can't knock them because they're making a living out of it. But
also, you can't lay your head down at night and go, I done good.
Yeah. And truly believe that. Yeah. Like,
I mean, if you do, that's true narcissism.
That's fucked.
Which is what this whole conversation started from.
Yeah.
That, yes, that's narcissism. Call that out. Point that out. But I'm sorry if one day I wake up and I look at my life and I go, I'm not happy, and I think I'd be happier without my wife. That's not narcissism.
Right.
It's not narcissism if I don't peel a fucking orange for you. It doesn't mean I love you any less.
Yeah.
Here's my thing. You stick your fucking thumbs in my orange, it's your orange.
Yes.
I don't want your fucking thumbs in my orange.
No.
I let my wife put her thumb up my ass. I don't want that in my orange. I don't put my thumb up my ass.
I don't even.
I've never let her put her thumb up my ass. I just thought that was funny to say.
I didn't
say.
Know if we were doing a bit or not. So I just thought panicked. It was.
But, you know, that's just an example.
And if you did, no judgment here.
Yeah.
Or fuck it, I don't care.
I mean, maybe when I was drunk, I might have. I don't remember. But, I mean, I guess, no, actually, I do remember. Because, you know, I'm trying to convince her. Who the fuck doesn't want to at least try anal once? So I was like, here, you fucking put a finger in my asshole. And then she scratched the outside of my asshole.
And that was
like,
it.
That was it. I was like, you know what? Fuck it. Anal ain't worth it because now my butthole hurts.
Hey, there's sound logic behind
yeah,
that.
Yeah, absolutely. But, like, that's my thing, man. Like, that's just the shit. Like, it's hilarious to me because these people. And that's what I love about the internet. Like, I love how much I truly have gotten into TikTok. I was the guy that was like, I'll never get on TikTok. Fuck that. They already have all the information that they ever could get from me.
Yeah.
So why wouldn't I?
At least if I
knew
it. At least if I know it's through TikTok that they're not just being shady about it. That's never been a secret.
Yeah, like, they've been very open about the fact that they're mining our data.
If it's gonna go anywhere, it might as well be on
yeah,
my
it's
terms.
More
God
like,
damn it.
That's what's hilarious to me. It's like it'll be like my dad, who's fucking 70 years old or 68 years old, who will be like, TikTok's taking all your data, and it's like, you don't watch the news because. Facebook was busted for doing that because they weren't transparent at all.
Like a million years ago.
And now they're still doing it and they were transparent about it. And you still believe they're not doing it.
Yeah.
You fucking dummy. Like, yeah. Whatever, dude.
Yeah.
Take my shit. I don't give a fuck. Mm. I really don't.
At this point, I mean, it's all out there for anyone. If I want to find out anything about anybody, aside from when I Google the fucking phone numbers that I get spam calls from and spam texts from all the time,
yeah.
I can't find shit about them.
No. Nope.
But if I were to Google like a legitimate phone number,
burners.
Yeah,
you can't find
true.
Burners.
Dude, I got a text yesterday that just said something about like, hey man, do you have time to meet up for dinner tomorrow? And I know if anybody were to say, like, hey, man, like, I know the guy or I know the person. And
yeah.
I'm just getting that all the time now. And not exactly that verbiage, but, like, I'm getting messages
I'll
like
get
that all the time.
Messages.
I'm like, man,
yeah.
If somebody's in like, need of help and they want me, like, I'm the type of person, I'm not a gullible person because I'm familiar with, like, shit that, you know, like, scams and whatnot. But if somebody needs me, like, always lived my life. If I can make somebody's life better with me being in it,
yeah.
And if I know that,
yeah.
Then there's some phrase from Mork and Mindy where Robin Williams is like, then I'm as rich as all I ever need to be.
Right.
And that's how I feel. And I want to
feel
needed.
Now you're going
to
hang yourself.
Well, so far, so good. We haven't followed that path.
Yeah.
And I aim to not do that, but
same here, dude.
But he also was an alien, or
but
some
if
shit.
I accidentally if I accidentally stumble and trip and fall with a rope tied around my neck that's attached.
Yeah,
to
if I'm hanging Christmas lights, yeah. And I'm like, hey Kyle, this ladder's really doing me a disservice.
Yeah, yeah,
you
yeah,
mind
yeah.
kicking it out real quick?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah,
get this out of my way, please.
Oh, dude.
Oh, that entire Clark Griswold bundle of lights that's around your neck? You might want to check out that?
Yeah,
I'm good. I verified it.
Yeah. Well, why did he take his life? I will tell you this. One of the strands was not lit up. Yeah. It might have been the final straw.
Yeah. And he was an electrician. Yeah, like it was, he knew.
But it was right in the fucking middle of the all the rest
but
of them.
But wow, did that neighborhood have a show.
Yeah.
That's so fucked.
That's so fucked. Dude, fuck it. I mean, my thing is like, it's like, as long as I can joke about suicide, I don't think I'm ever in danger of doing it.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. That, I mean, I never thought about it that way, but yeah. I guess I'm good then.
You want to know another thing that I've been seeing a lot lately? There's this guy, Sean Ryan, right? Okay. Ex-military. I like him a lot. But he had a guy on who was trying to defend the fact that police shouldn't be able to kill people, right? And I tend to agree with that. Mm-hmm. And but where this guy fucked up, right, was he was like, well, you know, Sean, when you were deployed, because like I said, he was ex-military. When you were deployed, you know, you would stop people. And if you didn't see a weapon, it's not like you could just kill him. And Sean looks at the guy, dead in his face, and he goes, no, sometimes you have to kill a motherfucker. And the comments were, oh, stone cold. Oh, perfect. And I'm like, me and him had two very different deployments because I would have been fucking hung in front of a fucking court martial if I would have fought, especially with my rules of engagement. Right. You know, like the rules of engagement I had when I was over in Iraq, especially during Operation New Dawn, when it was all hearts and fucking minds, it would have been game over for you if you've discharged your weapon in the direction of a fucking person without a weapon. Not even if you hit them. Not only that, but this is, I was thinking about this. I was like, what a fucking, and I was like, oh, wait, that's why so many veterans kill themselves. War is a mindset, and it's hard to break that mindset. Sean Ryan is a successful podcaster, and he still has the mindset of war. We're talking about United States citizens being murdered by a policing force, killed by a policing force, whether justified or not. That's not the point. The point of the matter is that they're still being killed.
Mm-hmm.
And he compared it to Iraq and said, sometimes you got to kill a motherfucker. That's war zone, baby.
Yeah.
Those are the enemy. That's not what you're supposed to do at home.
Mm-hmm.
So, no, you're wrong, even though I agree with you that officers should be able to defend themselves with deadly force, because everybody kept going, just because they don't have a weapon doesn't make them deadly. Correct. But if you can't defend yourself in hand-to-hand combat, then guess what? You weren't properly fucking trained. Mm-hmm. In the military, we have combatives courses that you have to get certified in so that you can, so that they know, is should you be attacked because you're not using your weapon, because you're trying to fucking interview this person, or because they're showing no signs of fucking hostility, that you could defend yourself.
Mm-hmm.
So how come we have a standard for one and not a standard for the other? And I, like I said, I fucking back the blue all the way. I think there needs to be more funding. There needs to be more funding so that they could take fucking free jiu-jitsu classes, so that they could take free fucking taekwondo classes, so that they could take free fucking Muay Thai classes. All of it. Absolutely. But you can't sit here and tell me that in 2024, our police force shouldn't be well-trained enough and better off, that we don't have the highest fucking, the records. Last year we set the record with 1,523 people killed by police. Now, how many of those were unarmed? How many of those weren't technically threats? We don't fucking know. We'll never know those stats. Mm-hmm. But what I can tell you is 55 unarmed United States citizens were killed last year, down from fucking 74 or whatnot from 2022. So we're trending in the right direction.
Mm-hmm.
But the argument that goes against those people who support a police officer who kills anybody ever is cop deaths also went down last year.
Yeah, that's something that you never hear about.
So obviously there's a correlation.
Mm-hmm.
That if the citizens feel that they don't need to fear themselves for their life, how come a citizen isn't allowed to be so fearful of their life that they could take somebody else's life?
Yeah, it's a kind of a slippery slope, I guess, when you look at it that way, too.
Yeah, that's my thing. It's all nuanced.
Yeah,
that's why.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
That's why.
Great word for
it. That's why I get so upset when as soon as a fucking cop kills somebody, that everybody goes, oh, that cop's in the wrong. Just as I get upset that as soon as a cop kills somebody, that they go, oh, that citizen was in the wrong.
Mm-hmm.
We don't know. It's why we have a fucking court system.
Right.
It's the reason why we're not privy to all the same fucking evidence that will be presented in that courtroom.
Mm-hmm.
We have to stop looking at everything through the lens of what's reported first.
Mm-hmm.
It's going to get to a time in this country where there's going to be no such thing as an untainted jury pool. Right now, you still have hope that the fucking boomers haven't seen it because they're not on Facebook, they're not on fucking TikTok, all that right. Shit. But there have been multiple cases where the public view was 78% says this man's guilty. And then the jury comes back unanimously and says, no, not guilty.
Yeah.
Because they have the circumstances. They have all the evidence in front of them.
Yeah. And everybody has, I mean, everybody has opinions. Everybody's always had opinions. But in today's day and age, we talked about it a little bit last week, too. Like, nobody can shut the fuck up. And it depends on what people, especially not to, like, be ageist, but a lot of people who are older and on some of these social media sites, or they get these targeted ads for different news outlets and things like that. What they see first is exactly what they believe, and that's it.
Exactly. It's an echo chamber.
Mm-hmm.
You're only being reaffirmed. It's that right. You're looking for brown. So even if it's beige, you're going
to
count
way
it.
Way to call it back, homie.
Yeah, that's a good callback.
Fucking love that.
It's almost like I've been doing this a couple hundred episodes.
Yeah.
But, like, that's my thing. That's my biggest thing when I talk about all this shit. It's the reason why. But just like you said, where, like, you know, like, with older people, it's not ageist. Here's the thing. The rhetoric that I'm most sick of is with age comes wisdom. That's not true.
Especially not anymore.
I have met crackheads who are in their 60s. You would think that they would wise up to stop doing crack.
They just found a way to microdose it so it hasn't they knocked them off yet.
No. Lil Boozy. Yeah. Had a phenomenal fucking.
Wait, that's actually a person. Oh,
Boozy?
I thought you were saying, oh, they were just a little boozy.
No, Boozy Badass.
My bad.
Boozy Badass is the man.
I'm an idiot.
He goes, I'm out here. I'm gonna look this up. I'll play this for you guys because this is the greatest endorsement of crack I've ever heard. And I know it's funny to say that somebody's out here promoting crack.
Supports. I mean, he might be. We're not necessarily.
When you listen to this, you might be.
You might be like, guy's got some points.
Here we go.
But you actually made an interesting statement. You told people to stop taking fentanyl and go back to crack.
Crack. I'm promoting it.
You're promoting crack.
Fuck that. Fentanyl killing all the junkies who've been junkies. I'm talking about this killing the junkies who've been junkies for forever.
Yes.
Soon as they hit it, they dead.
Right.
Crackhead, this nigga shoot threes. This nigga shoot basketball. This nigga run 100 miles. This nigga get sane. This nigga fix your car motor. Been doing this for 20 years. This motherfucker still running around the neighborhood. When have you ever heard crackheads hitting the pipe and dying the first time?
Never.
Never. This fentanyl shit is different. I would much rather crack. I would much rather crack.
You said
I've been seeing my crackhead people for 30 years.
True.
This nigga hit fentanyl 2 times. He's gone. You never see him again.
Right.
Right. I promote crack before fentanyl. I'm sorry.
Right. And you know something?
Then crackhead, bro, they can do anything.
You ever see those crackhead couples that have been together for like 15 years?
They can do anything,
and
bro.
They're still smoking crack and they're still together.
They can do anything, year. Bro. Crackhead, bro. Whatever was in crack, they gave them a real powers.
Did you ever see the video of the crackhead?
Real
the
powers.
No, I ain't see it.
Hold on a second.
Fucking fentanyl, man. That shit killed junkie, bro. That shit done killed so many people in Baton Rouge, bro. Like, it's sad, bro. Like,
look at this.
The junkies that been junkies. Dude.
All right.
Did I not tell you you might endorse crack? You might be on the crack train, baby. Yeah. Go back
all
to
all aboard, motherfucker.
All aboard, choo-choo. No, legit. Shout out Vlad TV for that interview, by the way.
Dude, I've never heard that before.
But, like, he's not wrong.
Like, I'm laughing at it, but it's not dismissing any of the points. It's just, I never thought that this was an argument that would have had to have taken place.
Isn't that
why I'm laughing?
Isn't that crazy? That's the state of the world we're in. And the worst part about it is crack cocaine is made from cocaine. Obviously, that's why it's crack cocaine. Cocaine is what they're putting fentanyl in. You want to know the worst part, Josh? They're starting to put fentanyl in weed.
I've heard that.
Why?
Yeah, I don't.
What are they doing?
And maybe I'm just uneducated. I don't know what it's supposed to do in general.
Fentanyl?
Well, isn't it?
It's crazy that they put fentanyl in crack or in cocaine. Because cocaine's an upper, fentanyl's the ultimate downer.
Okay.
Fentanyl was developed to be stronger than morphine.
Jesus.
What does morphine do? Morphine's a downer.
Yeah.
Morphine is a painkiller. It's a drug that blocks your receptors from feeling pain. So why are you putting fentanyl in crack, or in cocaine, which literally is the biggest upper of all the uppers? Yeah. And the problem is so when they cut the cocaine, what'll happen, if they'll cut the cocaine with fentanyl, right? And when they do that, what happens is the fentanyl will clump. So it's not evenly spread throughout the coke. It'll end up clumping, and that's how people end up ODing and dying.
Fucking blast.
Which 2 milligrams of fentanyl is enough to kill an elephant.
Good luck, everybody else.
Yeah. It's absurd.
That's insane.
It's a sorry state, especially that it's the reason why I support the legalization of drugs.
Yeah. Yeah, and something like that, especially because I know it's been an extremely hot topic for a while now.
Yeah.
And being in the pharmaceutical industry,
people are going to do drugs.
Right.
It's going to happen.
Yeah. And we have like, I won't say specifics, but there are things that our company monitors basically with that understanding that there will be orders with opioids.
Oh yeah, that's and right. You work for a company that works with insurances, right?
Yeah, insurance and prescribers.
Yeah, and prescribers.
And the members themselves. So we're like, we've got a hand in everything.
Right.
And there are certain policies that our company chooses to enforce that will
Anthony's had fentanyl.
Yeah. And unfortunately it's something like we've had meetings where it's like, unfortunately we have to talk about this and this is something that we have to almost put an allowance in place because certain people will qualify for this, but we know that there's always going to be a potential for this thing to be abused.
Yes.
So we have to monitor.
Absolutely.
It's called pharmacoadherence, and it's when somebody is prescribed something and what is the likelihood that their prescription will be filled, that they will request it to be filled, and then how frequently they request a refill on that.
Right.
And well, it's and such a fine line, and it varies daily.
We deal with this directly a lot for Amanda because she works in occupational rehabilitation and therapy, right? And they're starting to work her in with the pain management team. The problem is that there's a lot of doctors, because of the opioid crisis, that refuse to prescribe opioids. Mm-hmm. And yet somehow those patients end up on Amanda's desk and they need their shit. And she's not allowed to tell them no. And Amanda's big thing is like, how come I'm not allowed to fucking say I don't want to prescribe this many? Because that's on her if it gets abused. That's on her if she's not, if she doesn't recognize the abuse of the drug. Mm-hmm. And it's like, that's unfair to her, especially being seen as these other providers that are refusing our doctors. She's a nurse practitioner. Why is she the one that has to fill these prescriptions all the time? Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? And it, like, and I mean, and she has spoken up about it and said, like, I don't feel comfortable, especially because, like, they'll send patients that we're seeing somebody else who no longer works there. And she's like, I know nothing about these people. I do not feel comfortable, you know? Yeah. And I mean, and she told me, she was telling me, she's like, so say for instance, Kyle, you came in to clinic and you had like a slipped disc or something. And we prescribed you, Percocets, right? And you came in, you have to get piss tested, and you popped hot for weed. I can't prescribe you. Like, you sign a contract. Mm-hmm. I can't prescribe you these Percocets. You have to choose one or the other. Either you're going to self-medicate, and then we're not allowed to give you medication, or you can make sure you stay clean and we'll continue to prescribe, but she's going to want to taper you off. And the tapering off of people is when you see people get addicted to heroin, see them get addicted to street drugs, you know, and it's because you build the tolerance. So once you taper somebody off, they're not used to that level of pain that's coming back to them.
Right. And people, depending on size and body mass and everything. I mean, everybody has a different tolerance for this thing in general.
So I got Vicodin after my hernia surgery. And I don't remember the dosages, but I know that the first dosage did nothing for me. So I contacted my doctor. I'm like, I don't feel shit. Like, it's not helping. I'm in massive amounts of pain. And he goes, okay, so what we're going to do is we're going to up it. We'll up it by like 2 milligrams or something like that. Mm-hmm. When I say, Joshua, that when they upped it, my whole life changed.
Yeah.
I'm not lying, man. It was fucking absurd. It was like blinking your fucking eyes and waking up in a different fucking world. Like, and that's nuts to me. That this shit's so powerful that small of a dosage change can affect you completely differently.
Yeah. My uncle, he very manual labor, like intensive life, and kind of, you know, comes from a older mentality of just, you know, tough it out everything.
Yeah. Yep.
And he's worked through some shit that he probably shouldn't have worked through, and he's paying the price for it now.
Yeah, that's the worst
part. I saw him maybe it was one or two Christmases ago, not just this past one, but one or two ago. And I remember, and I found out that he was kind of affected by some of the regulations that are in place or were in place. I don't know specifics.
Right.
But I was talking to my grandma about it, and she had basically said, like, with a recent change, he's been able to get the dosage that he needs. My uncle's like 6'6", 6'7", maybe. Big fucking dude.
Right.
And not unhealthy. Like, he's physically fit. Yeah, he's a heavier set guy, but the guy is just a brick shit house. Like, the definition of built like a brick shit house.
Right.
And 2 years ago, one or two, on Christmas, he was in so much pain just sitting there that all he could try and do was try and fall asleep just to take his mind off of it and get through it.
Yeah.
And I remember after Christmas, hauled everything out to his truck. My brother and I, we walked him into, like, out of the house, down the stairs, into his truck. Even for two, I mean, my uncle's probably like 350, yeah, almost four bills, like, big,
yeah,
guy.
Yeah, big guy.
We pretty much did everything we could to lift him into his truck, just praying that he could get home. And I told James as we were walking back into the house, I said, I prepared myself that that's the last time we will see Uncle Nick, because I thought he was dying.
Yeah.
And this thing came through. Every time I've seen him ever since, I have never seen him healthier or feeling as good as he is.
Right.
And he's like, I'm not abusing anything.
Right.
He's just taking it as instructed.
Right.
But because of an issue going on, you know, he was suffering for it. And it's like, I get both sides, but, like, because that one hits closer home to me.
Yeah.
Now I'm forced to look at it in that way. Maybe it's a selfish way, but
no, absolutely.
It's just like, holy shit, this thing is so, it's so impactful.
Imagine living with that pain and they can't figure anything else out.
Mm-hmm.
Wouldn't you seek out something?
Well, that's why I'm like,
own?
Dude, I'll fucking pick him up. I'll drive him wherever. Like, yeah. I just want to see him happy. He's always the source of laughter. He's always a,
right,
you know, light heart
but,
to have around.
But
good
if
shit.
He's talking to a person at work and they're like, well, what do they have you on? And he's like, they have me on 15 milligrams of oxys. And he goes, yeah, I got 30s here. Take these 30s. Mm-hmm. It'll do the job. And then he feels better. But then all of a sudden the 30s aren't working either.
Yeah.
And then he pops up to 40s.
Yeah.
And then he's dead.
Right.
And it's like, that's the thing. Just because your body builds a tolerance doesn't mean that you can process it that way. You mm-hmm. know what I mean? So you can still overdose without even having
sure.
the fucking effects of it.
Yeah. And I can't imagine just constantly, like, the second you open your eyes in the morning, your brain clicks that, hey, I'm alive today.
Yeah.
Cool. Oh, shit. Everything else sucks.
This sucks.
I don't.
Right. You wake up and you go, fuck.
Uncle Nick, let's go get you a dab pen, homie.
Fuck. You're like, I woke up today.
Yeah, you're 20 minutes from Michigan, dog. Like,
yeah.
We can figure something out, maybe.
Yeah,
but then
exactly.
you can't get what you actually need. So it's such a pain in the ass. Do you mind if I quick take a piss break?
That's hilarious, because I was just going to say, why don't we. You know what? This has been a good conversation. Why don't we just call it an early episode?
All right.
I'm okay with it. It's already fucking 12:30.
Oh, shit.
I'm okay with calling. We'll do a shorter one this week. Next week, we'll try to start a little bit earlier, get a little bit more time. Sorry, I burped directly into the mic there. But yeah, we'll have some more shit to talk about next week. There's a lot of shit going on with the caucuses and whatnot. Maybe we'll touch on some of the politics. But if you want to give people a chance to find you and some of your other content.
Yeah, absolutely. And thank you again, as always, for having me.
Yeah.
If you're interested in more gaming content, or if you do have gibberish aspects of the show that you feel like I'd be good to receive feedback or questions or concerns about, you can hit me up on my socials. I've got a podcast dedicated email, codlogicpodcast@gmail.com, CODLOGIC podcast@gmail.com. Otherwise, on Twitter, codlogicpodcast, or more video gaming side of things, that's Woke Up Dream Team on Twitter, or twitch.tv/wokeupdreaming, all one word.
Absolutely. And obviously, I've been lying to you guys for the past couple of weeks. My email is actually gibberishpod@gmail.com. That's gibberishpod@gmail.com. You can follow me on Twitter, TinoHeat05, or, well, X, Twitter, whatever the fuck you want to call it. Or if you want to watch me, I finally got a Twitch stream up last week, and as Ranked comes out, and, you know, just playing other games, I'm probably going to stream. Honestly, what might make it a little bit easier for me to play Resident Evil 4 is if I stream it, 100%. I won't be so scared. But, yeah, I'm going to start streaming some more content. I got quite a few games in the fucking, in the chamber that I want to start playing. So, yeah, you can check me out there at TinoHeat55 and, you know, reach out. We love to hear back from you guys. And, you know, as always, if you agreed with a lot, with what we said, that's great. You know, we also like it when you guys have opposing opinions. So make sure that you do reach out and maybe inform me a little bit why you think I might be wrong or why you think I might be right, but I might have missed the mark on something. We'd love to hear that. You know, if you like what you heard, that's great. If you didn't, it doesn't really matter, because at the end of the day, it's all just gibberish. Peace.